It's peaceful out on the farm, where the sweet sounds of night herons and crickets seem muffled into the fading heat of day. The dirt road that leads up to the old limestone center is lined with ancient live oaks and cedar trees draped with Spanish moss. 30 minutes from San Antonio proper, the heart of the hill country is a calming retreat from the bustle of fiesta preparations. All in all, it looks like any other yoga center or spiritual retreat. However, this country haven is filled to the brim with vampires. Today on Blood Type Zero, we take a deeper look into blood farms. While historically vampires have taken thralls, the concept of a 21st century blood farm didn't appear until the 1960s, 40 years after the Threshold event. Vampires had started to fully integrate into modern society, and with their now open presence came the complex ethics of feeding. Often called communes of the night or a leech lover's paradise, people would travel from far and wide to explore the transformative effects of vampirism without breaking the ban on new vampire creation. As the number of deaths from anemia began to increase, local militias cracked down on commune seekers, often leading to extrajudicial stakings. However, as Congress remained 60% vampire, no legislation was actually passed against them. Now, with an only 30% vampire legislature, as well as a living president, state governments have started outlawing blood farms, which have regained traction in the era of anti-vaxxers and alternative medicine. Texas representatives have drafted a blood farm ban, much to the concern of the Bulverde Hemotherapy Clinic for spiritual and physical revival. The clinic is the oldest blood farm in Texas, though they don't use that terminology. Here's Karen Clarkson, self-professed fangirl and daytime director of the center. No vampires commented, as per the technological disabilities of most 100-year-plus undead.
We prefer the term symbiotic living space. Blood forming makes it sound like an unequal exchange. Modern life builds up so much negative energy. Listen, Linda, I tried everything. Crystals, essential oils, Reiki, and even kale. But like, nothing was more than temporary until I started attending hemotherapy sessions. Hemophiliacs drain the negative buildup by aligning your blood ions and making your marrow work overtime. It's helped me lose weight, refresh my complexion, as you can see, and it just feels so wonderful. That moment of connection between the two of you is so lovely. It's the pure joy of leaving your body and really meeting as souls. Beautiful. Beautiful.
However, not everyone agrees that this pleasure is a good thing. Dr. Lisa Lin at the University of Texas recently conducted a study on predicting the long-term stable recovery from repeated vampire feeding addictions.
Vampires are basically giant parasites. A singular bite leads to minor tissue necrosis and some minor dizziness. However, if you keep coming back more and more often, you'll eventually be short a good amount of blood. That generally replenishes within 48 hours. It's really the poison that you have to worry about, because it activates your pleasure centers along with your pain centers. Every feeding, the pleasure centers become more and more desensitized, meaning that more blood needs to be drained to attain the same state of pleasure. If people would wait a month between feedings, it could be manageable. But because of the pleasure circuit, no one actually does that. People become addicts incredibly quickly, sometimes as fast as the second or third feeding.
The addictive nature of vampiric feedings is the mainstream justification for anti-blood farm legislation. It has been characterized as the newest form of cocaine by Democrats and a cultist fad by Republicans. Neither party has had the best track record with effective and empathetic addiction policy. So to find the nuance on this issue, I called our expert on the grays in life. Hi, Carl. Welcome back.
Hello, Linda. It's good to be back on the show.
For those of you who are new to BTZ, this is Dr. Monty, a professor of ontology and ethics at the University of Arkansas. He specializes in 20th century post-structuralists, with multiple publications in the fields of vampiric studies. Basically, the undead ethicist. So, Dr. Monty, are blood farms ethical?
Well, blood farms themselves are not inherently evil. They're not inherently unethical. They do have that addictive properties, but it can be combated with the right regulations. To ban them would simply allow illegal ones to proliferate, and that allows their addictive properties to simply spiral out of control. This has the problem of eventually decomposing society at the fringes and at the boundaries, and is a net bad for society as a whole. Despite their not being perfectly ethical, the addictive properties can be combated. It can be combated from a legal standpoint and a regulatory standpoint better than they can be simply by banning them.
Thanks for your time, Carl.
No problem.
So while chemotherapy might not lead to spiritual enlightenment, it also cannot be reduced to a new designer drug. The further an issue is reduced down, the farther we get from a good solution. As the anti-blood farm bill, HB 2289, is brought before the 88th legislature, Texas voters are faced with a decision that will heavily impact less than 1% of their population. Vampires walk a strange line between privilege and prejudice, one that citizens will be forced to tread themselves this coming Thursday. Register to vote online at votetexas.gov, and don't forget to listen to Blood Type Zero wherever podcasts are found. Next week, Undead Citizens United versus the Census Bureau.